KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 196, recorded Friday, April 15th, 2016. I am Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
Jim Black.
Hello.
Brett.
What's up?
Headmaster Don. he sounds like I still sound. Daniel.
From Canada.
And also joining us is Chad tonight.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen.
My voice is not completely returned from the con crud, and a little bit more about that here in a moment. So I'm going to pass it off to Michael Swift and let him do a bulk of the talking tonight, but just to save my voice some. So I'll pass it off to him real quick.
So tonight we're talking about ponies. 100% ponies, nothing but no.
Fluttershy!
Oh, Rainbow Dash, or get out.
Daniel just has a horse just sitting there.
Do you want to know what's funny about this horse? I keep this on my desk because I found this at a garage sale, and I was like, what is going on there?
Oh, my Lord.
There's a don't ask. I always thought it was funny. It's actually from a Lone Ranger set, but it has a humongous dong on it. Look at that.
leave it to Proto Man to be – Leave it to Proto Man to be horsing around.
What a horse's dong. Anyways.
All right. Well, tonight's
start.
Mold flash.
Oh goodness. Tonight's main point of topic is BotCon because we all went to it. We all met each other. We all had fun.
And we all came back sick as a dog.
Yeah.
Except the Canadian because he's used to that shit.
I'm good.
Brett.
Yeah.
Jim.
So, I'm double thumbs up.
Minus 40 weather that makes you feel like crap. That's Tuesday.
Well, Brett's too short to catch anything. It all blows over his head. So.
Yeah, well, let's just say in the groups that I travel, the con crud is alive and well. So
thank you, Mr. Sick Guy, who came to the BotCon. I had aches and chills and shivers and ran a fever all Sunday long.
And that's even beyond from just meeting me, you know. That's...
That was Don's speech, but we'll get into that.
Oh, God, not y'all, too.
Oh, but it was such a good speech, Don, and we were all really plotting for you. You know that.
Was that plotting or applauding?
Both.
Take your pick.
Anyway. I do want to remind people that if you're watching us live on the YouTube channel or even listening to us on the audio download version, you can check us out on Twitter at TFYLP. If you're watching us live or just listening to us via YouTube live, you can interact with us on Twitter. I'm keeping a watch on it right now. So interact with us, send us your comments or questions via at TFYLP on Twitter, or join us on our Facebook group. We've got the episode tonight pinned to the top, so comment away on it. It's the topic with the Dragon Megatron in the picture, so comment away on that.
Very jealous I didn't get one of those.
Yeah, cool. Y'all might want to write.
People are. You're welcome. Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, which we'll probably get into. Maybe not. Just
maybe. Maybe.
Do we get into it?
Well, to, we're not going to cast aspirations, but we know you might want to right click save the picture if you'll be looking for one. That might be the only one you find for a while.
Unless you want to pay price. Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. Unless you want to pay the same price of say a third party combiner for it.
Yeah. But anyway,
I know they're closing for over 400 now.
Good more than that right now.
Are they?
My friend has one right now, 14 bids at 500 and something.
That almost makes me turn around and like, I'm selling you because you're gold, except for I like it too much.
Yeah, that's like, well, I've got three combiners I'm trying to finish, but I've got so much other stuff I can get rid of instead.
And go sell that and buy an HTC Vive. Live the future, man.
You know, I have to say I want to keep mine, but if the price goes well over $1,000, I'm selling that son of a buck.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to be honest. I do have Dawn of Futures Past Megatron. I was lucky enough to get one of those at the show. So, if push comes to shove, one of those might have to go because I'd have the other.
Did you pick that up this weekend?
No. I got it back in 2006. Yeah.
And you know something that occurred.
There was one that was given away this year.
Was there?
Yes, there was.
Nice. I kept forgetting to drop my little slip into the raffle. So it's actually was still sitting on my coffee table when I left the hotel on Monday.
Wow.
Well, with my luck, they would have done a pretend drawing for next year, and that's when I'm going to finally win.
You know, it's funny. I have a Hot Wheel on my desk that kind of resembles Unit 3.
Huh.
I've had it on my desk for years, but I happen to look down and I go, hey, that looks like Unit 3. Which that thing is flipping gorgeous. I wasn't going to get it at all. Yeah, I wasn't going to get it at all until I saw it in person. I'm like, hey, that thing's flipping awesome.
Well, you know, I guess since we're on this exclusive, do we want to talk about them, you know, briefly?
Now I can.
So why don't you lead us into that, Daniel?
Well, what do you guys want to talk about exactly? Because I could go into the nitty gritty.
I guess the first thing we do is we tell everybody what the exclusives were.
I guess so. Who wants to lead that? Or do you want me to lead that, really?
I don't know if you want to, because you know
all right, the details. So we already know the main box set itself was, I don't think we could call it Tri-Predacus so much as they just stuck with Predacus because it was now five members. We had the original three of the original Tri-Predacus, which from the 1997 Beast Wars set. Let me just pull up this sucker. Unfortunately, everything is in the display right now. I guess we could kind of point out also, if you guys want an Easter egg, I guess this will kind of be a public announcement. If you look on the side of your box set here, it has the Fun Publication Office exploding, and it says Fun Pub over there, for those who didn't notice that. The actual background itself was, if you look carefully, it's a slightly photoshopped version of the Devastator box set. I believe Marcello did the tooling of it. So if you find your Devastator box set and you look at the background, there's similarities that were just tweaked here and there. So there's that. Hold on. I don't have everything close by here. Then you had the other two figures, which were the Ravage using a retool of Breakdown.
Yeah, Breakdown.
It was Breakdown. And the other one was the infamous Rook mold, and my personal favorite of the box set, Tarantulas, which Brett has there on display. My personal favorite of the box set, personally.
That Rook,
that mold works with everybody. You can make that a Prime mold. You can make that a Megatron mold.
And the head sculpt was phenomenal.
And he was his colors were actually based off of the Transmetal design, because the club recently, not too long ago, did a kind of Dawn of the Future Past Tarantulas motorcycle. So, you know, instead of just redoing another Tarantulas, why not do something in the Transmetal colors? And I find that, in all honesty, even though that wasn't his first body, it was the more iconic one. A lot of people really, when they think of Tarantulas, they think of that design.
Yeah.
He did a lot of cool stuff during that. And he also has those Unicronian horns, which kind of lead to his character. I actually wrote the bio for him for the box set, and I had to kind of work within those guidelines when writing the bio, because of we had to keep his origin kind of ambiguous for what the comic would say, which I don't want to say too much about the comic, because I really want people to just go out and read it, because it's a really good book if you're a Beast Wars fan.
Yeah.
John Paul Bove, JP, did an amazing job. Amazing, amazing job. I didn't know he had it in him for such good writing.
Now, just as a quick aside, that mold with Tarantulas does have a slight mold issue on the figure's left arm. The inside molding did not quite catch, and so he cannot do the Hulk hands very well. People like using the Combiner War hands for that mold. They do not hold very well, and he cannot hold his weapon, at least on three copies I tried. And also,
I just did a video review of it, and pretty cool.
Okay. Well, most people I talked to was having some of the same mold issues. There may be some where the tolerances are a bit better, but Rob Clay from T-Formers also tried a couple of ones, and that's what we're running into, was just it was just some looseness here and there with the connecting points.
So it was the hole in the fist just the wrong diameter then?
No, on the ones that we all tried, you know how when you look in the fist, you have the little ridges that are lined up. Some of the ridges weren't. Okay, you got a good one then. It's just some of the ones. Left and right. Then you got one of the good ones then. But I just want to let people know that there is a running issue with that. So if you can try yours in person, or at least check on it, just wanted to give that as a heads up.
Yeah. So there's a variant.
Hasbro typically, I find a lot of times that those tolerances start to get wacky even after.
Well, it's not like that Rook mold's been used that much.
Three times thus far.
Swindle, Hound, Rook, and
Trample. And there's a Japanese one.
Yeah.
Oh,
well. The
roller. I was being sarcastic.
I'm sorry.
All right.
But continue.
Yeah, so there was those five, and really good box set. I feel that the Ravage is kind of the weak one of the bunch, for reasons that I'm pretty sure the whole fandom aired quite obviously, which I won't go into.
I totally agree, too.
The head.
Can anyone say quarter on a quarter on a pin?
It was what you had to work with, more or less. So then you had the Golden Ticket exclusive figure, which was – and this actually – this was a fun one to write, and it had that perfect middle ground of – for the people who did get it, they dug it. For the people who didn't get it, they would have been like, I can live without it. So when you have that perfect middle ground like that, no one's angry at least. So, I mean, if it could have been like a really awesome idea and then make a whole bunch of people furious. So – I really dig Night Flash Century, and there's a whole story with that too, because I found out the hard way was I was chilling at the registration table with Pete and a whole bunch of the volunteers and stuff, and I forget which volunteer it was, but man, he bailed me out because some bronies actually came up to me and were telling me how much they loved that I use a My Little Pony name for a Transformer. I had no idea what they were talking about, and apparently, Flash Century is the name of a My Little Pony character.
Yeah.
Which is like, whew, right over my head. I'm going to say this right now. I had no idea No idea at all. You know, you have a camera transformer, Flash. Makes sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, there was no intent there, but so apparently there's a pony transformer. I mean, it existed in Transformers before. There's G.I. Joe's named Transformers. There's Pops Toys named Transformers. I remember this weekend there was a guy who had some G.I. Joe stuff. It was next to Stan Bush's table. And if anyone remembers, G.I. Joe used to have the Street Fighter subline. Remember that one?
Yep.
There used to be Sagat, the Muay Thai fighter, used to have a tank called Devastator. Yeah. And that's where the name sat during that quiet period of 95 going into Beast Wars. So, I mean, this is, you know, even G.I. Joe's freaking Street Fighter stuff had a little bit of Transformers in it. So it happens. It wasn't intentional. It's just Hasbro has a pool of names that you have to pick from for trademarking, and that one wasn't being currently used. So.
Now, you know, somewhere in the My Little Pony fandom, there's a fan fiction somewhere.
Oh, God, it's already started, I bet.
That connects the Transformers.
Taking photos. Anyways, so that was the Golden Ticket figure, which was a clear reflector mold of the new retooled or not retooled, if you know, depending on how you know the story of that. Then you had the At Show exclusive. So you had from the Ravage mold, the classic, like almost expected repaint into Tigatron. If anyone has those available right now, because I don't want to have to go back and forth on my display.
I gave up trying to put it up there, and you're not even looking to see which one, but that's okay.
Tigatron and Reflector are the only two that I didn't get from this year's set. Because
you didn't get Reflector.
No, it just didn't click for me.
Didn't gel?
And Tigatron was just too bland.
Tigatron, I could kind of understand.
The head was awful, and he was just way too bland.
Yeah, with Fletcher, you just didn't see yourself picturing getting that one.
With Tigatron, it was one of those cases where if you're someone that's been to previous BotCons like me, I started in 2001, so that's when that Transmetal Tigatron came out. You kind of got your Tigatron satisfaction there. There you go, Brett. Thank you.
No, this is the 06. Which
that's the 06 one, the Unit 2. Well, that's, again, also like using the Clocker mold.
Exactly.
People were satisfied with that. So when they saw that one, unless they were really a completist or something, it wasn't something that really appealed to them. Yeah. When I wrote the bio on that, he was also probably the least exciting to write a bio on, because, I mean, it's Tigatron. You know, take a guess how it went down. You know, he likes nature, and he believes in peace, and na-na-na-na-na. So,
incidentally, was it on purpose that the Reflector head was just a really shrunk-down version of Chug Astroterrain?
No. It's more just a coincidence of the Fleer O'Deary design having matching heads, if anything.
Was it really?
I do agree with Duran. It does look like it, but it's more just a coincidence. I mean, one could argue even that Astrotrain's head or Ironhide's head or even some shots of Rodimus Prime's head. There's always similarities.
No, Brett. I did it first, Brett.
Yeah, but you can't see it.
I can't see yours either. Cameras are bad at focusing.
Focus.
So I guess... we also had the Army Builder, which was Reflector, which was at an amazing price, might I add, at $59. Was the most produced At Show exclusive at, I believe, 1,500 units. The Tigatron, to just go back to him, I believe, was 850. So this one was almost double of Tigatron and a lot of the other ones, just because people felt, and rightfully so, felt that probably would be the popular thing this year. If you were a guy who was not into Beast Wars, and those dudes still exist, unfortunately, those poor souls, but for those few that don't like Beast Wars, you still got your G1 fix through Tigatron. Excuse me, through Reflector. And hey, it had the engineering to turn into a camera. You know,
Talk about that.
Hmm?
I would like to talk about that.
That's a whole story that I don't know if
I get it.
Because no one wanted to talk about it at the panel. So.
Well, I did it. Here's a screenshot of what it's supposed to look like.
Okay, and there you go.
It's horrible. It's absolutely
horrible. Yeah, that's another reason I didn't get it.
Yeah. Now, someone said if you take the middle bot and turn it, I haven't tried yet, but someone said if you take the middle bot and maybe switch it the opposite way of what most people, I haven't, again, it's just, you know, I haven't tried it with mine yet, but something about taking the middle bot and doing a, changing it in a different way.
I don't see how you could, because the legs lock in and the arms lock in.
Okay. Well, considering Reflector had a G1 toy and then a super small little Legends 2-pack, we'll call it a Micron, this was the first time in forever. Oh, and he had a decoy or a Keshigumu in Japan. But aside from that, you know, he really had no toys. So unless you were a guy that went the third-party direction, this was your official fix of Reflector. And the fact that it turns into some form of a camera is at least impressive instead of just being straight-up three robots. But again, the price you couldn't argue with, because previous army builders have always been easily topping over $150.
You know,
this guy was $58. So
that's something else that I was really happy with this year, was the fact that you could buy the exclusives individually rather than in two packs. You know,
individually, but every exclusive compared to previous years was usually $10 to $15 cheaper than its previous price scale. Now, granted, there was a lot of other cost issues that led to it being cheaper, but that was a happy good thing about it, especially as a Canadian.
I mean, that led to me being able to choose whether or not I wanted Reflector and Tigertron. So,
well, and one thing I'm going to miss about BotCon is I love them being able to use the add-on exclusives to fill in holes in previous years when the mold they wanted to use wasn't available. And so even though we've got a Tigertron and Airazor already from both the 06 set and from the Timelines Club exclusive, it was a nice homage to get another Tigertron and Airazor as another BotCon homage set, you know. So again, that was really nice to see a few of the you know. So it was like a triple play. You know, you get a new version of a fan character, you get an homage to a previous set, plus you can pick and choose if you wanted just Tigertron and Airazor because of the canon. You know, there's that.
So just to move along, after that we had Airazor, which was
beautiful.
I love that one. To be able to give a Japanese mold a chance in a stateside audience is incredible. Turned out way better than I expected. For those who were actually in line waiting to get your toys, the image that was shown of Airazor was actually the old Photoshop when, you know, the proposal was being done, where the actual toy looks way better than the Photoshop. So for those who didn't buy it because they probably saw that preview image there while waiting in line, that's not what the toy looks like. It looks way better. And it came out incredible. And lastly, we have Megatron. And yeah, that was the hotness of the weekend. That was the first thing to sell out. It was what everybody wanted. He was, I believe, just to go back to Airazor, Airazor was the lowest produced figure at 650 units.
750.
Was it 750? Okay, but I know it was the lowest produced, and Megatron was also 850 with Tigatron. So,
but I think there needs to be a caveat there about Megatron sold out first, but there's a reason Megatron sold out first.
Well, there's multiple reasons. Something else that was,
and it was not BBTS either.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say any. I'm just saying that you know, we just need to bring. I thought we just need to bring that up so people would know. But yeah, apparently when they lifted the limits on Megatron Saturday, someone that was a golden ticket holder. There's rumors about who it was. I'm not going to say who. Apparently, bought 40. At one time.
Jesus.
And pretty much.
He's got a car payment.
Yeah, so pretty much, you know, I'm just bringing this up because I don't want it to not be addressed, but please don't start, you know, a witch hunt. I'm blaming people.
And initially it was said that BBTS was the one that did it. However, BBTS, Joel at BBTS, and I believe Carl Hartman both came forward to say that it was in fact not BBTS that bought the 40.
Right. So I'm just going to say that I was in line to pick up two, if possible, for my friends who could not make it. Fair game. They said, listen, if you can get me one, I'll PayPal you the money. I was going to do it at cost, not make anything on them. And the fact that of all the exclusives, they knew this one would sell out the fastest. And taking off the limits is fine. But they could have said, okay, this one, we don't have a lot left. We got a whole lot of people wanting them. Let's keep this a little on the reserve side, one or two per person per trip through the line, and to avoid, so at least as many people can try to get this as possible. And I really think that, I really think that could have been done better, considering they knew they weren't taking this one figure home. But I just felt that needed to be addressed. I apologize for getting on a negative point, but
to get in there also, if you couldn't get Megatron but still wanted to get your Megatron-esque fix up, there was another thing that sold out that weekend that was also quite popular, and it was a little bit squeaky, and that was a rubber ducky. Something that I almost feel like after that happened, Bachhaut was probably like, man, we should have been doing this every year. You know, there it is. Just to give an update on that, there will be more rubber duckies available on the club store, even though they've sold out, although they will have a different tempo graph because it won't be obviously a 2016 Bachhaut exclusive. It'll be a club store. I don't know what the logo will be, but it'll be something related to make it a special rubber ducky. So if you're a completist now of the rubber duckies, you might want to also get that one when it shows up on the club store. And it sold out for multiple reasons. Number one, it was a great thing to get signed by David Kay. I mean, it's almost a no-brainer. And number two, it was cheap. It was cheap. I mean, you know, $5 for a little souvenir that, yeah. You know, I got two of them. Now I have one in my bathroom. It's just chilling there looking at me when I shave. So,
so did they sell out of everything?
No. What didn't sell out as of the Monday was Tigatron. There still was plenty of Reflectors, but Reflector also had a lot of units. Unit 3, which I'm going to get into, which is the last exclusive, didn't sell out. But I think he also – there was very little of Unit 3 left, though. Because after that sticker set was shown, then all of a sudden people wanted that even more.
I was going to bring up the Magna Ball sticker set was – you know, for the $5, I got that instead of the rubber ducky, because that would be pretty cool to have a Magna Boss to go against Predacus. So that would be cool.
Number one, it gives more life to your retail toys that maybe you would have passed up on. In the case of Ironhide, Prowl, and even a Silverbolt, if you probably got the Japanese version. So it was a good excuse to get those guys, get Unit 3 on top of that, you know, really grease the wheels that if you were kind of questioning on getting those toys now, it was a good reason to. It does a fairly interesting job doing it, and it's not just something that was just exclusive to the toys. Those characters in that combined mode appear also in the Dawn of Predacus comic book. So it's something that's now canon fiction, so if you want to make that happen, I believe there's a sale right now for Power Core combiners in retail, so go pick yourself up an Ironhide and, you know, finish the set. Unit 3.
Were you guys, for the Magnaboss sticker set, were you inspired more by the need for something to go against the Predacus combiner, or were you inspired by our mentioning it on the show here as an idea?
That's something you'd have to actually ask JP, who wrote the comic, because that's something that, honestly, even between you and me, I learned about that the day I got to the show. Nice. Like, it was just something like, oh, you guys are doing that. Like, it was in the comic. I didn't know if that was planned from day one, though. So that's something that it's like, oh, that's a nice attempt, you know, to give people a little something more. So it really added to your whole, you know, package where you could walk away going like, oh, so, you know, I'll go home, pick up Ironhide. I could, you know, get more figures related to the theme of this year's Bachhaut.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was cool, you know, and considering that stuff like repro labels exist that really bring life to a lot of old toys, it's nice to see Bachhaut, you know, take a swing at it too. And then the last one, like I mentioned before, Unit 3, also known as Under 3, based on the legendary McDonald's Under 3 toy, probably the most difficult of the Beast Wars McDonald's toys to get just because of its ambiguity of how you would buy it. which he was, for those who don't know, he was the lion head that was just a lion head and would open up and have a very convoy-esque, prime-esque looking robot mode on the inside that wasn't articulated, just kind of stuck on there. So those two, you know, I mean, that figure came out way better than I'd hoped. Using the Streetwise mold looked great. If you look at Duran's feed there, amazing looking figure. And just awesome to have a little personality to a character that barely even had a bio, you know, like just no character whatsoever. So to flesh him out, to me, it's always the most fun thing to do is to flesh out a character that normally had nothing, to really go from the ground up.
It looks spectacular.
Oh, it does. It does. And again, he was cheap. I believe he was $47, which, I mean, compared to usually how Bakon Deluxes were, it was, again, $15 than normal. $15 less than normal, so that was really good. The last two I forgot to mention, thanks to my co-hosts here reminding me, because my brain is a mess right now. I came from the gym. But there was Pterosaur, which is included in the box set as a free figure. He came out spectacular. Again, one of those characters that, unfortunately, due to his history, didn't really get a lot of toys. Just his original release, Japanese repaint, you know, the Transmetal, and then a sea of repaints of that Transmetal that may or may not be the same character through Armada or otherwise. So it's nice for him to get a nice update in some place or form. Nice real little face resculpt, has an evil smile on there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that
a lot of people dug it. A lot of people really dug it. And it was a good addition to the set. Very good addition. You know, keeping that all Predacon theme to the box set was a really nice addition. He was also very popular. I saw even the Japanese guys, they always have a little list of what figures they will trade money for. And he was always one that was on there that they wanted. So clearly there was a demand from a large group of people to get that one. And the last one, which was very unique, first time for Bakon during the Fun Pub days, was the custom class figure. And there's not one title that one could give this custom class figure. Because what they did this year was you got one mold, and then you had essentially six different figures that you could go in any direction with that. And it was Ratchet, Shattered Glass Ratchet, Marvel comic book Ratchet, and then the one that I chose, because just it was the most unique one, was Rescue Bots Medics. Essentially, it was five Ratchets and Rescue Bots Medics you could choose from to do characters and everything. And it was pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting. It for those who don't know, it used the special mold that was used for the Combiner Wars Prime crew for Ratchet, Ironhide, in this case, the Trailbreaker mold that people are more familiar with. And if you have, like Brett had, he showed there, if you got the one that was sent to you or Swift, if you bought it just straight up, it was unpainted and you kind of lost a bit of the experience there because that was something that if you did the custom class, then you got that uniqueness. Yeah, exactly. You got the uniqueness of it where if you just bought it straight up, you didn't get that. So, I mean, that was one of those. You know, I find that the custom class, when they started introducing the ability to purchase the figures, they then introduced something where it's like, well, still, if you didn't do the class itself, you didn't get this or a flag or a Covenant of Primus. There was always something unique. So that was one of those cases. So, yeah.
I keep hoping someone will release like a sticker set for it so I can slap some stuff on it and make it look like Ratchet.
I would not be surprised if down the road someone would bootleg it. I know that they did that with the Minerva, the antennas at one point, someone did that. But so that was essentially of really the figural exclusives. There was a lot of other stuff. There was a lot of merch this year. There was sunglasses, there was tumblers, there was shot glasses. There was, again, the rubber ducky. There was this great kids book of Josh Perez's there's the shot glass. Josh Perez last year did some great art for the script reading, which I believe was called Return of Blur or the Resurrection of Blur. And so what they did was they took all his images with the script by Marty Eisenberg and made this awesome little like almost kids book, like kids picture book with the story. Came out amazing. And that also was like a cheap thing. You could get it for like $5. So awesome stuff with that too. I'm trying to remember what else. It must be something else.
Oh, man, I think that covers the gist of it.
Yeah, okay, cool. Take it from there.
I gotta go ahead. One thing I was kind of surprised about was, how they chose to do the Ratchet. I would have expected them to also throw in a hoist out of the Trailbreaker version of that mold.
Well, it would have been easy to do that, or like tracks out of the Wheeljack mold.
Yeah,
would have been a good one too.
Or blue streak or something, you know.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and move on to the show itself. So, what did you guys think of? sorry.
Everyone's dying. Jeez.
Well, I gotta say, one thing that I thought was going to be wonderful actually turned into something personally miserable.
The conflu?
Well, no. I lucked out there. I don't know how I didn't catch the Consars. But somehow I escaped its wrath.
FDA is
Consar it?
Yeah, there's something worse coming down the pipeline for me. I just know it.
That didn't sound right.
I was in line for autographs for, you know, David Kay, Venus Terzo, and Greg Berger, right? And I had one of my suitcases with me, and the suitcase had my Combiner Wars Devastator, my Generations Jetfire, and Combiner Wars Armada Megatron. I was going to have Greg sign, you know, Devastator for long haul, as well as the Jetfire, and then David the Megatron. And, you know, I wanted to make sure I get, you know, pictures with all three voice actors, even though I didn't have anything for Venus to sign. And, oh my God, as I'm getting ready to take a picture with Venus, my suitcase falls over. The handle is all the way down, like I thought it was. Falls over. Clocks are right in the shin. I felt like that freaking tall. I mean, it was awful.
It's all right, Jim.
Yeah, in the event Venus is watching this, I want to personally apologize again. That was horrible.
He shouldn't have thrown his luggage at you.
Yeah.
I blame Devastator. I think that's what...
Venus, if you're watching, Jim is our resident ass.
I am. I'm throwing toys at voice actors I don't even ask autographs of. I mean, what's up with that?
I was kind
of
disappointed that I didn't actually get to get in the line on Sunday due to being sick, because I was hoping to try to pick something Black Arachnia related off that day and get it signed, but oh well, I still got something to live for, I suppose.
I'm just glad me and you didn't get a picture together. I got just about everyone else.
The whole time I was being nice to you, and you just kept giving me the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Yeah, but yeah, that was I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Why do we look at the schedule?
But so what did you guys think of the show in general? The the dealer room, how it ran.
If you took every BotCon done by FunPub thus far and really broke down like a 1 out of 10 breakdown of programming and everything like that, I'd have to say this is probably in the top two, personally for me. And it's not even like a biased because of a certain guest that was there or something like that, or me having something to do with the exclusives. It's just from a programming standpoint. Anyone that was at that Stan Bush concert, you know what I mean? Like, that was pretty crazy.
That was awesome. But my critique of that was they had the sound on it turned up way too loud, and the acoustics there was terrible.
I was told that if you were in the Raptors and stuff, you didn't hear it as much. But us guys who were right up the front, so we could get that stand spit on us. We were getting the full blown.
I actually tried it from the rafters, and I'm like, it's awful up here. So I came down to the ground with everybody else, and it was still awful. I'm like, all right, whatever.
But it was pretty crazy, getting both Vince DiCola and his crew do stuff and then Stan rocking out afterwards. And, I mean, there was a good chunk of people there. Like, not to mention all those non-Transformer fans that just happened to be down there at the same time. It was pretty crazy.
The people that had no idea who the heck the singers were, yeah, or what was going on.
Oh, yeah. The second they said, you know, the love of Transformers, probably everyone eating that was around there was just like, are you serious? Yeah. I was told that that same weekend there was also a Garth Brooks concert going on. So we were kind of cross-pollinating with them. So if you saw anyone walking around in plaid, and that was kind of the uniform that weekend, if you were outside of the convention center.
Yeah,
that's kind of what that was related to.
Cowgirls walking around.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. It's like cowboy boots.
They were in the heart of downtown also in large numbers because of the Garth Brooks concert. So they checked it out along with us. And, I mean, that was a packed crowd, man. I was like, you know, third row from the front, fourth row from the front, and it was bumping. It was just busy. You know, couple that with the return of Casino Night with an actual good dinner, although the lines were a bit crazy. You know, you just combine everything together that was available. Good guest, good programming, modest sized deal room. Not the best deal room, but a good sized deal room. There's been a lot worse. There's been a lot better, but a good modest sized deal room. Good venue, good location. You know, the fact that it was, you could go out of your hotel room and there was literally everything at your fingertips in terms of food and entertainment within a walking distance. To me, that's what makes the best BotCons, is when you kind of have that great balance of everything, where you could go like, wow, Disney had the best Hall of Fame dinner, but forget about getting around on your foot anywhere. And the box set that year was pretty meh, you know. Not a lot of people were a big fan of the G2 set. So, I mean, there's always that balance. but this year I found there was so many things just hit, you know, 8 to 10 in terms of the measure scale of stuff. That
the biggest thing that sucked was the fact that the main panel room was so far away from
Well,
everything else.
Yeah, I do agree. It was out of the way. But if you're someone who went to hung out at the bar a lot of the time, you knew where it was. It was right there. It was that bridge to the two, the skywalk.
Yeah, but so, I mean, being a dealer helper, there was actually a couple panels that I wanted to go to. I did go to the Hasbro panel, but I wanted to go to several more, but I didn't, simply because, you know, I didn't want to go that far away because, you know, I needed to get right back to the booth. So, you know, it was kind of inconvenient. That's why, I guess, what I meant.
Yeah, I do agree. It was, you know what, in all honesty, I think that they probably would have situated it closer, but it seemed like there was another convention happening that weekend.
And a wedding.
And they were using some of those other bigger rooms that were situated close to us. I know that if you were in line for, say, the Judd Nelson stuff, like the autographs and the photos, your line at one point would intersect with some other engineering convention or something that was going on where you were standing right in front of the entrance doorway. So, but I mean, from what I've been told, the Guild House Hotel is, without, you know, having to, it's the shit. It is like, it is the place where everything goes down in Kentucky. I mean, it's where the Kentucky Derby, it's the official hotel of it. And that's another thing I actually want to get into. I mean, I've been to a lot of BotCons, but was that an awesome hotel or what? Like your rooms and awesome everything? I mean, I've been to Disney. I've been to so many hotels. And this was like, I mean, if you were running a parts party or something, you were like, this is the perfect setup for this. You know, it was just great for that. These rooms were huge. You got like two TVs, your own living room. I mean, how many BotCons did we have where we had a fridge? You know, how many BotCons did we have? We had a freaking fridge. At Disney, we had a fridge. And I think 2002, if you go pre-Fun Pub days, we had a fridge. You know, this one, you had two TVs, you had a living room, you had a couch pullout, you had a little, like, you know, like almost like a powder room kind of thing in between the rooms where you could leave all your stuff. Like, it was a great, comfortable – the bathrooms were huge. You could put, like, a massage table in the bathroom. Yeah, you know, like
my shower didn't actually close, so as I showered, water just went all over the bathroom.
Well, bearing some, you know, some incidents during your sanitary needs, either way, it was just a lot of stuff really clicked. There was a lot of stuff that really worked out well in terms of that, where, I mean, Disney didn't really have a lot of that stuff going for it. I used to always credit the Pasadena years as some of the best locations to do stuff. And 2011, for the longest time, kind of was my favorite year in terms of programming, the set theme. You know, a lot of stuff was going for it that year. But this year, man, there was a lot of stuff that just gelled right. You know, and it wasn't because it was the last year or anything either. Just everything gelled perfectly. Maybe they went all out for this one. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Someone counter me here. I'm welcome to have that.
I can't disagree. It was in my backyard, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
I gotta say, one thing I really liked, and I thought was a genius move, whoever first decided to build the place like that, is there were these skywalks that interconnected all these different buildings for blocks.
The Louis Link.
And
what was great about that, sorry to cut you off, because it was raining a lot of the time.
Yeah, and it was cold.
Perfect.
So we took the Louis Link to go see Stan Bush and Vince DiCola perform there down at 4th Street Live. And that really helped out quite a bit. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, hindsight being what it is, we probably would have, most of us here probably would have been better off not standing outside in, you know, 30-degree weather, but...
There was so much going for this year's that I mean, the negatives are so non-existent, in all honesty, that I mean, I was very pleased, very, very pleased. I mean, they went out with a bang, BotCon for sure. They went out. I am almost like positive that they went out of their way to make it bigger than it normally is because it was the last hurrah. You know. Anyone else? No one? Opinions?
Oh, well, if we're discussing...
Let's let Chad have something to say there.
Well, my little one, he actually wants to get on and talk about his haul and talk about his experience at BotCon. It's the only one he can remember. So let me wrangle him up. He actually... walked off while I was typing this and actually could see that I said it and walked away from the computer. So I'll mute and see if I can't get him.
Well, while you're doing that, what about you, Brett?
A couple things I thought were funny. And it may have, after you hear this, some people might get upset. It's funny that, you know, people got sick, this, that, and the other, and they had to walk, what was it, how many blocks? It was like three or four blocks,
yeah.
A cab ride was $4. $4.
Why would
that,
you,
for that why distance?
Would you drive 4 blocks?
Very, very simple. I don't have a cold. I don't have a croup cold, whatever. $4.
To be fair, I didn't have a cold or fever then either.
Well, what it was is that there was one little thing that you didn't mention, and that was the golden ticket. I had a golden ticket, the first time I've ever had one, and it was great. A lot of perks. I didn't get to use many of them. I did get to sit in front of one of the panels, which was nice. But the one thing was is during the Stan Bush and the big concert, we were upstairs nice and warm, eating and listening to the concert, which was wonderful. However, it's only 4 blocks. I understand that. But you've got 110 people in a group walking 4 blocks. And if you didn't start when they started, you were lost. So as a result, because I went back to get my jacket, I had no idea we were going outside. They didn't tell you that. So I went back to get my jacket. Of course, they all left. Heck with you. So hence why I got a taxi. But once again, it was only $4. The experience up in the, I guess it's a bar, was wonderful, especially when we're sitting there and who sits down next to me but Greg Barger. Sat down next to me and we started up a conversation, which oddly enough, this is the second voice actor who have, after having I've talked to them, got into the topic of Frank Welker, which I always think is funny. Everyone always wants to talk about Frank. So I learned a little bit more about Frank from Greg. It was a really good time. It was really good. And then to see Judd there too. He was a character, let's put it that way. He was definitely a character. As far as the dealer room, Daniel, I'll have to disagree with you. 100% going to have to disagree with you. I saw more Japanese stuff this year than I've seen in the past
eight
years.
God, yes.
There was that one guy.
It wasn't just that one guy.
No, but specifically, there was that – I call it the part of the dealer room I wanted to avoid if I wanted to get home. You know?
Well, and then when was the last time you saw a G2 protective box complete? Or G2 StuntCon complete.
You have to understand something, Brett, but you have to understand something. Me and you, what we look for makes up literally 2% of what the rest of that dealer room is hunting for. You know what I mean? For me, like I said, for me and you, yeah, there was some stuff there, man. I mean, you know, like some weird ass stuff, you know? But at the same time, I'm saying more of the big scope of it, the size of it, because obviously for me, when I go to BotCon, I go straight to Azusa, I go to Hydra's stuff, you know, there's very specific things I hunt for. But if you wanted variety, I would have to say it was a middle ground. It was more of a middle ground in terms of variety. I do agree. Like, especially,
I'm going to disagree again. And I'm going to tell you that there was a dealer there who I know. And when he told me that him and his buddy were selling a collection, mm-hmm. Oh my God, they had almost every G1 US boxed and cheap, dirt cheap. What I'm saying is there was such a variety. I have never seen a variety like that.
Well, between
over there, you get the six or seven people with all the Armada and movie toys. That wasn't the case. This dealer room was phenomenal this year.
Well, between the guy who was selling all the G1 stuff, G1 Japan stuff, that was – how many times you go to a table and you see, you know, four Grand Maximuses? You know, it's just – and not to mention like, oh, hey, Star Saver, $25, you know, obviously missing all the accessories. And, oh, hey, you know, Root Road Caesar, two Galaxy Shuttles in the same spot on the same table. I mean, that never happens. And then Robo Base from Diclon and stuff like that was a crazy table. You had Pete's table, which there was that glass case on the side there that just that alone made me salivate like crazy. And every time I walked by it and something was missing, made me feel a little empty inside that it wasn't me who bought it. And then there was another guy that was next to Stan Bush's that had the Laser Rod Jazz and Soundwave Mint on card in a glass case also at his table. If you were the high end dude, then you were very happy that weekend. And Azusa's table. And Azusa also had a lot of crazy stuff. He had a Grandis Mint in box, a Metro Titan. He had Robo Base, the deluxe sized one. He had Lucky Draw Unicron, the Micron one. I mean, if you were a high end collector, we're not talking $100, $200. We're talking like the $500 plus dude who throws around money. You were in heaven that weekend. You literally were.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, there was such a plethora. It was just – but even Headmasters, Brainstorm, Mint in the Box, $125 with the box looking perfect. Shockwave, Mint in the Box, $125. Just amazing finds.
Red Geist, like a certain someone bought that's pointing?
But my point being is that I know a lot of people that were, I'm not going to say hoarding, but waiting for that one time. And when they heard this was the last, I mean,
they went all out.
Absolutely. No,
again, that Asian dude selling that, like every time I walked by that table, I was buying something. And then I just had to stop. I just had to stop because it's just, you know, you walk by it and you go like, man, Hydra from Masterforce for only $35. Why not? You know? And then you go, well, now how am I getting home? You know, like I think I'm gonna have to put the toys in the place of me in my seat, you know? Like it was ridiculous, some of the stuff there. I actually took a photo of that guy's table because I couldn't believe the prices. I took it before it got like attacked, so to speak, because I couldn't believe the prices. And I know no one would believe me if I'll link it maybe or something. I'll try to.
I actually bought my Death Source before the dealer room even officially opened. So
that's when I saw it too. Everything like that's yeah. when I took the photo before it got like truly attacked by everyone.
Yeah. Chad, are you ready?
He can't hear right now.
Can you hear?
His mic has moved.
Oh.
There you go.
What's that? I asked if you were ready. I didn't realize you were not wearing your headset.
No, he had it on. I'm going to pass it over to Camden and let you guys ask him questions. And just, you know.
He's just sitting there going, no.
It's cool, Camden.
He keeps going back and forth. With the headsets on, we can't hear. So I will pass it over to him, and you guys can ask him the questions.
Hey, Camden.
Hello.
Welcome, sir. Good to see you.
Thank you.
You are now officially the youngest TFYLP member.
At least physically. Mentally is a different story.
Yeah, that would be Greg.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about BotCon. What did you think?
I thought it was really great because I got a free depth charge.
Oh. Yeah, depth charge is one of the best figures they've done in a long time.
What else did you get?
I got a target exclusive Leo Prime.
Ooh. Ah.
From the
Breaker mold. Yep, that's a good one.
Then I got Striker.
Which one?
Yep.
You got that sealed too, didn't you?
What?
Was it still sealed in the package when you got it?
Yes.
Nice.
Cool.
You freed it from its plastic prison.
You have to.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're toys. You got to play with them.
You got to open them, especially Trevor.
Yeah.
What else did you get?
That's all.
That's all. Hey, that's pretty cool.
I got this poster.
I knew there had to be something else.
Yeah.
They gave all the kids the depth charge. The general mission kids.
They gave all the general mission kids.
You got the movie poster.
The movie poster and the depth charge.
When I was a kid, perfect. I had that poster. Yeah. When I was about
you. I don't have that poster. Let me have it.
Now it sits on the roof. That same poster I had as a kid, dog-eared and chewed up.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Camden? What you can do is when that poster's in your room, when they come out with that set of toys that's going to be at Target, you know, the five-pack of toys, mm-hmm. you can put that right in front of the poster, and it will look awesome.
That'll be perfect.
Hey, there's a dancing monkey behind y'all.
So somebody's photobombing.
Oh, okay. You sure it's not a dancing monkey?
No, not sure.
Miles back there.
Did you enjoy BotCon? You had a good time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Surrounded by tons of toys, I would, you know, if I was your age, and if I was in that scenario, I wouldn't be able to contain myself, in all honesty. Being surrounded by thousands of robots.
Yeah.
Kid, you have a good dad.
The worst part is my dad would only let me spend $36.
How much, really?
Well, hey,
you still got a good haul for that.
Yeah. Some of us, I wish we could have got some good deals for that little bit of money.
Yeah. Trust me, as a Canadian, $36 is a lot of money.
So let's hear what your dad had to say about
what dad
car.
Got.
Cool. Thanks, Camden.
Nice meeting you, bro.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay.
I don't think he heard us, but
the Lynx returns.
The news guy. They said thank you for being on, and they appreciated your opinion.
You're welcome.
Okay, Miles wants to get on too, but I'll go through my stuff really quick because I only bought two things. I was able to procure a Skylynx, which I hadn't seen anywhere at all.
From what I understood, he was hard to find at the convention too.
Yeah, there was people charging like $40 a piece for him.
Wow.
That's what I paid for mine. And then our sponsor, Captured Prey, held on to a Pterosaur for me, and I purchased it, and it's coming in the mail. There was a logistics issue on Saturday for me to actually get it from him, so which is all well and good. I'm not upset. I know it'll be in the mail if it's not already in the mail. So
yeah, Nate just have to find a rare hand foot gun. It's hard to find.
Now, Chad, you mentioned you got that from Captured Prey. Did he make sure to give you great toys for great prices with great service?
He gave. Yeah, I'm not even going to answer the last part of that question. It was great prices and a great toy. But yeah, the last part of that question, Jim, I don't think I will be answering today.
At all.
You didn't get service properly?
He had a smile on his face, although he was suffering from con SARS earlier than most of us were.
So you didn't you did get sick, so you got sick from being serviced.
Okay, yes, I did. I would mention other things, but we'll just leave it alone. So Miles, my other son, the guy who was dancing around in the background and acting the fool while Cameron was talking, like to go through what he got and kind of lead him the same way you guys led Camden, because he definitely needs to be led.
Yay! I just got stuck on a cord. There we go. And I cannot hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
What up, little G?
Sup?
What'd you get?
What up, Miles?
Well, right now I can't reach anything because my dad's adjusting something with my shirt, which is very unusual. I'd like one of those. And show them. This is Marvel Legends Rocker Raccoon.
Ah,
okay.
It came with the body to Groot.
Now, wait a second, that's not a Transformer?
Well, he transformed from state to
state. Continuity, technically.
Transformer, if you use your imagination, they can hear you.
I'm about to go kill him.
Okay, so they're going to get in a sibling fight at this point.
Sometimes you're going to duke it out.
Yeah, I'm going to let them. They're going to get his
free. Because
you get YLT turned into a snuff pot. What is going on back there?
Hey, guys, you got to be quiet.
The monster's private Megatron.
Yeah, punish each other quietly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about our favorite moments from BotCon. I guess I'll kick it off since I haven't talked too much during the show here. But my favorite moment actually didn't happen at the con itself. Jim Black was actually a part of this. We had a... Yeah. Like I stated earlier, I live like 30 minutes from the Galt House, and it was actually quite a pleasant commute each day. It wasn't, Didn't seem like it took long at all. And especially Saturday and Sunday where there was like zero traffic downtown.
Well, it seemed like it took you forever Sunday when I was waiting for some medicine.
Well, actually, whenever you messaged, I hadn't even got out of bed yet. So that's
probably. I know. I woke up with like aches and chills at that point. I was like, I got to do something.
Yeah. But anyway, Jim Black and Insane Galvatron and fellow we know from the TFW boards, Mitchell, he goes by the username Uncrasmatic. He stayed here with us. Was it just Friday night, wasn't it?
He was just
yeah.
No, he was Saturday night.
Was he Saturday night? Yeah, I guess he was Saturday night. Well, I warned him ahead of time that I have a cat, but apparently his cat allergies were a little bit more than what he thought. But it wasn't necessarily the cat per se. See, Jim had the couch. Insane Galvatron had an inflatable mattress. You know, he's always got to have something that's blown up and everything. But he was on that. Yeah. And he was on that. And then I have a chair with an ottoman that you can scoot up. And Uncrasmatic was sleeping on that. He chose to sleep on that rather than, you know, unfurl his sleeping bag on the floor and sleep that way. Well, apparently after I went to bed and Jim went to sleep and Insane Galvatron went to sleep, Insane Galvatron apparently snores really, really loud. And he said that, well, I got up the next morning. Jim had already taken his shower. I come out of my bedroom and Jim's like, "We're missing a house guest." I'm like, "What? I can't." And he said, "Mitchell's gone." I'm like, "What? Where would he have went? He had no ride." So I opened up my collection room door here and curled up right here in front of my collection in the fetal position was Mitchell, just soundly sleeping. I'm like, he's like passed out in the fetal position in front of my collection. It's like, yeah.
Just that amazing.
His getaway from Greg snoring. Well, afterwards I talked to him about it and we asked him about it. And he said that he was the last to fall asleep. And he said he kept leaning over to Greg and going, "Really? Really? Are you going to snore that loud?" And apparently Greg didn't wake up. So he got out of bed or out of the chair and he figured he'd come in here and close the door where the cat rarely comes. And he said he couldn't hear anybody. And he said he just, and this floor mat that I have down in front of my collection cases here was so comfy. He just curled up in the fetal position on it and fell asleep. And I will never forget that. That is like the con moment for me. This year, it was just awesome. We joked that that he was just so awe inspired by my collection that he just couldn't handle it and he fell to the fetal position and slept that way.
You can't handle the details.
Yeah, because whenever he walked in here for the first time whenever he got here that night and I turned on the light, his eyes got big as saucers and he's like, "Wow, this is such a nice setup." But yeah, just seeing him sleeping like this, it all curled up in the middle of the floor was just priceless.
All thanks to Greg's nasal cavities.
Yes. So I'll hand off to Brett. Let's hear Brett's favorite story of the con.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been sitting here thinking about this whole time.
Nothing that was funny or something that you'll never forget from this con.
My face.
What was the most expensive thing you sold that weekend?
Huh. I'd rather not talk about it.
His soul.
It's expensive.
He sold his soul.
Let's just say a lot of people had some good stuff in the room.
Okay.
It was. I like the dealer room. I'm going to say my favorite thing was the dealer room. Just to see that much, go over there and see, you know, like I said before, to actually see a full set of G2 Protector Bots sitting right there, and sitting right next to it, G2 Stunticons, and to sit there and listen to the stories, and that was interesting. I guess out of everything, because meeting and seeing my buddies again, everything, that's always fun and all that. But to actually sit down with Greg Berger and just have a conversation. He's eating a salad. He's eating a burger, I think. We just sit there talking, and once again, just one-on-one. Not, you know, no fans sitting there clamoring because everyone had something to do, and I got to talk to him just to myself, and it was fun. It was good. So I'm gonna say out of all that was my memorable experience. Oh, and this year, except for one little thing, didn't have any screw-ups. No mess-ups, no bad things.
So. And whenever we tell our stories, I'd also like to ask, and I'll throw mine in here in a minute, but what was your one great purchase that you made at the con that absolutely made it for you?
Not one, but two powered convoys, mint in the box.
Wow. Powered convoys, huh?
Yeah, the two different types. I can't pronounce it right. Mecha?
With Battle Buggy.
Yeah. Mecha, oh. I think it's called Mecha and regular. The chrome version and the regular version.
Oh.
So you basically did what I did. It's like what I was pointing to earlier. I was able to obtain my Holy Grail in Death Source. And then right at the end of the con, I happened to be walking by the Transformer Land table, and lo and behold, there was Red Geist sitting there, and I'm like, holy crap. And I just happened to have $290 in cash on me, and I just fanned it out, and I said, this for that. And he looked at his partner, and he says, have we cataloged that yet already? And his partner said, yeah, I did it right before we came here. And he said, it's yours. And I'm like, walk away from the same convention with both versions, both official versions of my Holy Grail, I would have never dreamed that. I mean, it was a dream come true. I mean, you know what I had to go through, you know, a couple years ago trying to get one, and that fell through, much to my sorrow, but things happen. But now to actually happen was so amazing for me. I couldn't believe it. And then you turn around and get two versions of what you were looking for.
That dealer room was amazing.
Yeah. What about you, Chad? What's your favorite con memory and pickup?
Well, I mean, the dinner we had later on Saturday evening was good. And I won't even go into that. But probably the best thing that happened to me while I was at the con, well, there was two things. I got the one-on-one time with Greg Berger and got to talk to him, and he remembered who I was and stuff, so that was kind of cool. But the best thing is my son coming over running to me while I'm near the Captured Prey booth and saying, Brett wants to see you. He hadn't seen you the whole show, and you just have been ignoring him. I was like, okay. So I walked over there and harassed Brett a little bit. But it was good seeing everybody on the panel, everybody but Don. I seen Don in the panel, in the Hasbro panel. But other than that, I did not get to talk to Don. But everybody that's on the show tonight, I actually did get to have a conversation with, which was very nice. And sharing it with my kids, honestly, their first time being able to remember a BotCon.
No, I remember. Oh, no, that was Comic-Con.
But the first time they remember a BotCon because they were like 1 and 2 or something the first time I took them. It was in Cincinnati. So they, you know, just seeing the look on their face and the amazement of the, you know, the overwhelming scale of the dealer room as they walk in, just, you know, they're like, wow, there's this many toys in this area and we have access to all of them. You know, that kind of look on their face is priceless.
Incidentally, talking about Brett, Jason Brand, a.k.a. Get Right Robot, just mentioned him about an hour ago in his BotCon look back on and said, Mega Toy Fan, you always take good care of me. So nice little shout out there. And, you know, before we move on, I do want to say one thing to you listeners. You guys rock. I don't know how many times myself and other members of the show was stopped or came up to and told how much you enjoy the show. A lot of you I've met before, and a lot of you I hadn't, and it's really encouraging to hear those words, and we want to thank you as a group. Thank you so much for your continued listening and the kind words that we heard from you at BotCon this year. It's so encouraging, and we hope to continue what we're doing for years to come.
That kind of filtered over as well for me, being the guy who ran SlagaCon pretty much into the ground. You know, I had 3 or 4 people come up to me while I was there for, 5 or 6 hours on Saturday and say that they were upset that the show had to end and I put on a great show. So thanks to those people, if you're listening. I know Michael Garcia was one of them. And honestly, I don't remember the other ones because I just can't put the names with the faces. But thank you very much.
Definitely.
Totally.
What the heck is a SlagaCon?
Yeah, I actually saw somebody with a slag bag on Sunday.
I did too.
Yeah, that was awesome. Now, what about you, Don? What's your favorite memory and pickup from BotCon?
Well, it's actually just a lot of smaller things. Hanging out with everybody from both TFYLP and RFC at the last BotCon, being able to see everybody was one of the main things, of course, because we don't know what's going to happen. And it was just great hanging out with everybody that I did see. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to hang out with you, Chad. It's just, you know, I get a little crazy in the dealer room, in the panels and stuff. So I if I overlooked anybody, I apologize. Going to the Stan Bush concert, the dealer room, of course. I'll mention more on that in a minute. After the con, we went to the Brazilian restaurant up the road, which is something I've been wanting to do for years, is try a Brazilian restaurant. One of the things that really stands out to me was there's a fan listens to the shows, Aramis Prime on Twitter, asked me to autograph his RC comic from the RC Generations figure, which is a very weird experience considering I don't think myself autograph worthy, but he asked me to sign it and I signed it for him, and he said the comic's home and safe now. So it's great that, you know, there's people out there that really like us and we're that much a part of their life. So again, to Aramis and everybody else came up to me and recognized me from either podcast, because I had so many people that recognized me and not Massey. It was sort of nice for a change, because
well, that's just because you didn't bring Massey with you.
I'm saying a
you
lot of people
would have had more people recognized if you had a cat on your shoulder. I'm just saying,
or hanging off me with drawing blood or something. No, it's just my voice apparently is what it was, because people recognized my voice and they recognized who it was, which was just really, really great just to see all the fans on. But and there's so many people watch both shows, which is great, because everybody wins when everybody watches all the podcasts, because that way all the news is out there. Everyone gets, if they want the talk, if they want the discussion, if they want the fun, segues, whatever is going on, that's just great for everybody. Pickup, I didn't really get one major thing this year. Most of my holy grails is stuff that I can't put down $1,600 for.
Dawn, before I forget, we had this awesome moment too.
Yes. Yeah. Brian Kilby from RFC and Duran wore the same shirt. It's like, you know, I was surprised the portal didn't open up to an alternate reality just between them and just like.
It's one of those things you got to have, like, who wore it better, you know?
I think
someone wrote that in the comments. I just noticed who wore it best.
Yes, I think the look on my face and the look on his face is just epic. But for those of you who are listening on the audio version, we're wearing pretty much the same shirt. I mean, it's the same design, just different color shirt.
Yeah. My two podcast bosses meet for the first time for the last time.
No, it wasn't the first time.
I'll be the last.
The other question is it black or white and gold?
I know what that means. Yeah. But for the dealer room, I didn't, like I said, most of my holy grails. I'm sorry. I'm on an antibiotic Z pack. Makes me a little draggy on that Z pack. Most of my holy grails are, you know, the Dino King box set, like what Capture Prey had last year. I need a Minerva. I need Battle Gaia. I need Guard City. I said Cloud City. So, you know, the stuff I need is just stuff that I just can't put the money out there anymore for, especially with that 80s white plastic like Minerva. I want a Minerva, but with her photo turning in a dark closet to yellow, apparently, I just can't do that at the cost of her anymore. But what I did get was a couple of really good deals. I finally got my TAV-33, the Adventures Optimus Prime, that had sold out in so many places. I picked it up. I picked up the Black Knight Age of Extinction Optimus Prime from Japan and the Japanese Cosmos. I got them both for $85. So I thought that was a really good deal. Picked up Masterpiece Shockwave and Ironhide finally. Just a lot of good little deals. You know, just lots of things I wasn't planning on finding that I found for a good price. One thing I missed was in the artist alley. Derek Wyatt was there and had a lot of his artwork, and I meant to go back and pick this up, and I apologize to Derek for not coming back and getting it. But he had done a Generation 2 cover, and it was Sari in her Season 3 outfit, her teenage look with all the weapons out, and the title was Sari, Were You Saying Something? And she's standing like, you know, ankle deep in mech fluid and shattered parts and stuff. Ooh. I thought that's a great G2 cover, and I meant to go back and get it. But just basically, it was just a lot of little things made this really memorable as the last BotCon. So, you know, that's what I'm taking away from it.
Awesome. What about you, Michael?
Yeah. The first thing is apparently everyone thought I was short.
Yeah, I didn't think you were as. You've always struck me as sort of svelte.
He looks like TFYLP's version of Diecast, but no, that's not true.
Oh no, this guy's a hoss. I mean, he stands up. It's like, okay, you can stop standing up now.
I thought I scared. You know, kind of.
Well, you startled me. I'll admit,
ran up on him.
The way you look on camera, you look like you're an average height guy of average build. Just kind of a nice regular.
I think style. In America, technically, I am.
Yeah. But in person, it's like, hi, I'm Mike. You're just a big buff. Please
don't know about that. I don't know, Michael. I mean, the way he's talking you up, it sounds like he was really checking you out there.
Mm. No, I was shocked.
He's sizing you up there for something other.
Yeah, to see how fast I needed to run if he got mad at.
Well, we started off the show with a Big Horse Dong, and now we've got Don talking about a big buck.
No, I'm just saying.
Hey Don,
if you really have not met him in person, don't let the way his camera angle fools you, because he is just like, yes sir, Mr. Swift, I did not mean to do that. Yes sir, please don't beat me into a pulp.
For our listeners' benefit, I just want to say, during Michael's downtime when he's not here on the show, he actually has a full-time job as a Final Fantasy summon.
Even I get that.
Top of a beanstalk.
Out of everybody that's on the podcast, I think the tallest of us is probably going to be Tobias. I think he's probably the tallest of us all. And then me, and then probably, I guess, you, Don.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just more shock of how he looks on camera versus looking at person, basically what it is.
Yeah, so I received that from several of you. But no, my great memory of this is...
Hold on just a second, Michael. I think Chad's Kids wants to say something real quick.
Good night. I have to go to bed because I want to go fishing in the morning.
Good night.
That's a good reason to go to bed. I wish I was fishing in the morning.
Yes. Good luck. Catch lots.
Good night, Camden.
See ya.
I'll say good night. I'm saying good night for the other one because he is
checked out.
Being camera shy, and he's mad because he didn't get to spend his full time on the show like he would like to have.
Hey, he gave us a better show.
He did. I'll let him know that in the morning.
UFC.
He gave us a show of debonair devastation.
But I think the my fondest memory was about right, maybe an hour after the Hasbro panel, me and Greg had met up, and we decided to go down and look at the Hasbro cases. And we're just walking around, checking them out, talking, talking about this figure and that figure that they had just put out. And someone comes up and taps me and says, "Sideburn 2, I listened to your show. Can I get a picture?" And he goes and he hands the phone to Greg. And Greg sort of just like... Yeah, that kind of hurt. I'm on the show too.
Greg is a founder of TFYLP, and everybody's just like, "Who are you again?" Hey, that's what happens, Greg, when you're not on the show every week.
That's the price of snoring.
So yeah, that one, that was my good chuckle for the weekend. But no, it was just a blast. Hanging out with everybody. Oh my gosh, the toys. There was so much. I'm sort of glad I was sick on Sunday because I probably would have spent another $300 before that con was over.
That's all I took to the con was $300. So that included food and everything for us. I was pretty proud that I walked out with what I got and everything, and the kids got more than I did, which was good for me. So.
Well, yeah, and you're
to mix up for it.
Yeah.
You still get to play with it.
That's true. And my son gave me, Miles actually gave me his depth charge. So I gave him, I gave him my whole Marvel 6-inch Legends collection, which consisted of about, about 10 figures.
12 to 16.
So yeah, he was pretty good. He did pretty well in that exchange. But I've got depth charge up there, and if you never came to Slagicon, David Soboloff was actually one of my first guests, him and Greg Berger. So that character has a little bit of a special spot in my heart. So yeah.
Michael, you finished, right?
I'm alive. As for buys, I went to the, I ended up leaving the convention with three more BotCon exclusives than I went to the convention to get, or that the convention offered. I got these. And nice. And I got BotCon Japan Double Punch. I didn't get Barbarian because a couple of guys I know just sniped them all up. Just bought them
all. Yep.
Sorry.
Angry about that one, too.
That must have been unbearable.
Well, see, the thing is that he had four sets. And this was before the con actually opened. Yep. And I bought one of them. Somebody else bought two. And then there was another guy that was there that totally unrelated. He bought another set. And that's whenever I texted you, sorry, they're gone, man. And then the next, but I said, knowing Azusa, stop by his table off and on throughout the weekend, and it will pay off. And did it not?
It did. I spent a lot of money at Azusa's table.
Yeah, so, I mean, he put out another double punch. So, that was a benefit there. Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings if they fixed that Polar Claw mold, unless Barbarian had the same problem. With that hair trigger launching claw gimmick, but I wouldn't mind seeing a repeat of that mold in a Beast Wars anniversary year, because it's one of the better molds for one of the early figures.
I agree. It's a personal favorite of mine too.
Hey, he's good.
And I've heard about Barbarian, read about Barbarian, never actually thought that I would actually see one. And going down there, and he actually was just setting them out, and I'm like, "Well, okay." And then I asked him how much at first, and he typical Azusa, he sits there and he thinks, and he goes, "200 for pair." Like that,
and I'm like, "He didn't look at you like you just like insulted his mother, because he looks at me like that every day."
No, he just kind of stood there. He just kind of stood there and thought of me.
Gaijin baka yoro.
Yeah, he just sort of does like, cause when I've gone up there when I went up there and asked about prices, just sort of this slow. I was like, did I do something wrong? I'm not sure.
I did ask him though about the he had a lucky draw Unicron there, and I said, just out of curiosity, and this is before the con even opened, I said, just out of curiosity, how much is that Green Goblin there? He looks at me, and he looks at it, and then he turns to me like real slowly like that, and he just has that slow laugh, and he goes, very much like that, and he goes, eight, like that, and I said, $8? Like that. And I started reaching in my wallet, and he goes, 1,000.
Well, I'll be honest, Sideburn. Given the choice between if I didn't have the Sandstorm that you were just showing off, because that Sandstorm is one of the best uses of that Scorponok mold, and the packaging is just brilliant. I mean, that is visually one of the most stunning BotCon pieces they've done.
That actually is my favorite BotCon exclusive.
I would say that's tied between that and CAT scan.
Yeah.
CAT scan was really good.
I would have been.
Just to make listener Sergio Garcia cry again.
But yeah, that Sandstorm is a really nice piece. And it's showing off the Shulker rack.
By the way.
Oh yeah, I'm done
that one. Who hasn't went yet? Okay, Jim.
Jimbo.
Hi. No, as far as BotCon purchases, the bulk of my purchases were just catching up on the Combiner Wars Deluxes for Optimus Maximus and for Skyrain. Still need a Skylinks though. My most awesome purchase, though, is one I was on the fence about, simply because, it was going to be so much, and I was on a relatively limited budget. But I have to think, I'm like, you know what? Realistically, there's not going to be any other opportunity, you know, in my life before the man dies or I die of old age, whichever one happens first, where I'm never going to meet this man again. So I shelled out the what they were offering, $60 for just the autograph only for Judd Nelson on my little wall of fame here. And I've now, thanks to BotCon, added, what's his name, Stan Bush and Judd Nelson to my autograph wall on my VHS here.
I'm really glad you were able to get that, Jim. I really would.
I have to say, though, I was, as far as the BotCon experiences, though, and the favorite parts, I was blown away by the concert. Even though, like Theron said, the audio was a little off because of the way the space was designed, the acoustics in it. It was just a wonderful, almost spiritual experience, I want to say. Having Stan Bush and Vince Nicola perform in person and having a chance to witness that.
Not only did they perform, but they performed the theme song to this show.
Yes. Live. Yes.
I did feel kind of bad when Stan was playing some of his stuff from his newer albums, and we're all just like, yeah, but when does he get to dare?
Well, that's how it always is with any concert, whether it be Bon Jovi or anything, they got to put in their new stuff, and we're all just yelling, do Freebird! You know, like, it's always like that.
I'm surprised somebody didn't yell that out, telling them to play Freebird.
Yeah, I mean, leave it to you to demand Freebird at a Bon Jovi concert.
Yeah.
Well, still, I mean, Freebird at a Stan Bush concert.
I have to say, though, I was a little bit heartbroken. I mean, I was grateful that Vince Nicola was able to show up and attend and perform live, but I was heartbroken he was not able to stay for the rest of the convention. So as a result, I did not get his autograph, but I did get Stan Bush.
His autograph, unfortunately, the only way you were able to really get it was if you went to his Q&A panel and then bum-rushed him. That's what I did in a lot, because we heard from Pete that he might not be sticking around. So I brought my vinyl and I was like, yeah, I'm not missing this opportunity. So that was like the only way you were able to get the autograph that weekend was you had to go to his panel.
Wow. Yeah, I was kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't for, you know, whoever it was nearby just cutting all those onions, you know? Because, I mean, you know, you've got Dare playing, you see, like, Unicron transforming on the screen and everything, and you get overwhelmed with emotion, and then somebody behind you cuts an onion, and, you know.
What?
little man here.
He was crying.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, and then you think, you're up there and you're listening to all these songs, and then he gets to Dare, and once you get to Dare, you know what's next. I mean, that's the way he did at Paramount. Universal when he had that concert. But there's something about hearing that song, and I mentioned this about how song triggers memory, especially if you're an animation fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right back in that theater watching Optimus roll out for the last time at 16, and I was right there when Rodimus Prime showed up. And I mean, that was just, I didn't have any man tears. It was just, that's what was flashing through my head was, I remember those moments. I remember being the theater.
Absolutely.
That, and despite the terrible acoustics and everything, whenever Dare started playing, I joined in, and as many words as I could remember, and everybody started singing along with it. That was just amazing.
There was a guy in the rafters up just to the left of the screen. He was trying to get the crowd started by like clapping their hands over their head and stuff during some of the songs. And the camera panned in on him several times, and even Stan tried to get the crowd started, but like nobody else did. I think I was the only guy there even participating in that. Benson Yee, one of our past guests here, actually has some different videos of that show. And you can actually spot me in the crowd. I'm the idiot clapping his hands over his head, and everybody else is just standing there just watching the show.
Well, you know, you know, as just as a side note, you were talking about, you know, shouting Freebird at the Universal Studio show a few years ago. I went up to him before the or during a break or something, because he's also if you're an animation fan, you know that he did one of the songs on the American release of the Sailor Moon soundtrack.
She's Got the Power.
She's Got the Power. It's an uncredited because he filled in. Yeah, he filled in for someone who could not make the recording session, and it's uncredited. But he asked him if he could play it. He said there may be some legal issues with that being someone else's song, so he couldn't play that. But I thought it would have been kind of cool if he could have played a Sailor Moon song in the middle of the transfer, just as a random thing.
A Sailor Moon song in a Transformer concert.
Laser pointer.
If people that were not fans that were in that concert area weren't going WTF, if that had happened, that would have just been like, okay, 4th Street Live, let's abandon this place.
Yeah. And then you would have heard my one lone voice who knows the soundtrack, who knows that song, horribly caterwauling the rafters.
Oh. You're not alone, Don.
Okay, so who else hasn't win? Daniel, and are you the only one that hasn't win?
I think I'm the only one. Okay. So best con experience moment, it's actually not even my own. It was after I met Judd Nelson was the best, because it was just behind me was, for people who don't know, Silas Z. He was one of the artists this weekend, best known for his boobalicious Transformer art, where he has a thing where he likes to draw chicks in Transformer costumes with big breasts and everything.
Oh, is that the one like the aerial bots, the female aerial bots in the aerial bot style?
Oh, he does everybody.
Okay.
There's not a single like stone unturned with him when it comes to that. So.
I don't know why I remember that. Don't judge me.
And that's cool. Hey, man, if you've seen his table, you should judge him. Anyways, so I met Judd in and out, essentially. You know, it was like, hey, how you doing, everything? You know, but afterwards, Silas came after me, and I knew what he was going to do, so I kind of like lingered in the room because I wanted to see how this was going to go down. Silas had with him a like 8x10 Rodimus Prime as a sexy chick with big breasts, right? And so he was like, you know, so he got his thing signed. I think he got like the 86 movie signed or something. And then he's like, oh, and I got this for you, right? And I was like, oh, man, how's this going to go down? And I'm like, Judd looked down at it and he goes, hey, it's pretty sexy. You know, so and then Silas walked away and he just did one of these like, he just like did like a fist, you know, pump. And he was like, oh, got it. Good. And I don't know, that was hilarious because Judd that whole weekend was so chill. He was so chill, like he was all over the place. He was at the Hall of Fame dinner. He was playing blackjack with Pete. You know, he was very open, very friendly. I mean, I got this. I'm very happy. Like this to me, it's like, you know, fandom life goal in a lot of ways, especially for people who know how I am when it comes to that character. So that was. Probably my best memory, and of course getting to see everybody, you know what I mean? Like I felt that this was really a good unification of not just like TFYLP, but RFC was there, TFG1 Mike, who's another podcast, he does, you know, he was there. You had the Underbase guys with Lady Wreck and stuff, they were there. I mean, in all honesty, the only absence in terms of podcast guys would have been like Vangelis with the WTF at TFW. I think they were the only absence of that whole weekend. But there was just such a good unification of all the fans throughout all the years. And someone like me who's been in the fandom since, like the online fandom since 94, 95, everybody was there. You know, like everybody was there. When Pete did that little thing where he said, you know, sit down after a certain amount of years, I stopped after 16. You know, like it's just, it was, but it was nice to see like everyone there. Best purchase over the weekend, probably something from Azusa's table, because I was just looking for weird crap. You know, like that Toys R Us convoy was really cool and a lot of stuff. I think probably the most expensive one was, again, crazy G1 Japan guy had a complete Road Caesar for $300, and it was in better condition than the one I had. Yeah, I know. That was before the show opened.
I missed this. I would have dropped the money on that.
Like the stuff that he had.
Wasn't Chuck, was it?
It was whatever, crazy G1 Japan dude. I don't know what his name is.
The Art Fire 2000 booth?
Yeah, Art Fire 2000. And the only reason why that's I know is because I had to send the money. I mean, he had, before the show started, he had a Grand Maximus, like just bare bones, but at least it had the head. He was asking $325. You know, like there was some stuff that made you scratch your head going like, wow.
What's wrong with this stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, like no, what literally. And when I got what I got, I was like, this is in pretty damn good condition. It's way better than mine. And it's just because he's like, oh, well, I have three of them. And this one's the least, you know, the least good in terms of stickers of the bunch. And I brought it home. The only what was bad sticker wise, I used the old hair dryer and I swapped the stickers for mine. And now I have like a minty complete Road Caesar. And I have a raggedy one, which I guess I'm going to bring to TFCon or something. So if you want to buy a Road Caesar, come to TFCon. I don't know which one yet. But that was probably my most expensive purchase. And my, again, like Azusa has these awesome doshinjis that I love buying from Japan, the anthologies, which, cause they have their own little conventions there. I bought a whole bunch of stuff like that. Like Bakon is not really about finding the grails because I kind of got those already in terms of G1 Japan. It's more just about the weird shit. The stuff that you just can't find on eBay. Like he had three safety primes. Which is like, how do you get three safety primes? Those are given to children from a charity walk in Japan. Like, how, Azusa, did you like shake those out of children's hands or something? Like, how did you get those? And he had three of them. They were 80 a pop, but I mean, wow. Like, that's always such a great table to go to for the weird stuff. So that was more or less it. And it was the stand, like, you know, Stan Bush and the Judd experience for me, especially.
That's awesome. We've had some great experiences and thoughts on BotCon here, and we hope that you all have enjoyed those. Next week, we've got scheduled another guest coming on the show. He was actually at BotCon this year. I actually got a piece of artwork from him, and that's the Kaiju King, Matt Frank, will be joining us next week on TFYLP. He's done several things for IDW. And he also does the Godzilla comics for IDW.
He was also at BotCon too.
Yes, yes. He was there. Actually, I mean, I would get it, but it's way over there. Fantastic piece of artwork that he did for me. I'll show it on next week's show. Hopefully by then I'll have it nice and framed too. But you know, look for him next week. I'll keep you updated on the Twitter account. Remember at TFYLP and also on the Facebook group. With that being said, I'll let Michael close us out because my voice is done.
All right. Well, guys, this is another episode of TFYLP, episode 196. Once again, we want to thank you for listening. Thank you for coming and saying hi to us during BotCon. We enjoyed it. Let everybody say bye. I'm not going to announce everybody's name like I normally do because there's too many of us. We're just going to go ahead and say goodbye, and we'll see you next week.
See you. Bye. Bye. We'll see you next week.
If you got bye. If you got the con crud, feel better.
See you, everybody. And-
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.